The Survivor Specialists are back, and today we got our prop bet game and predictions for episode number 11. I am joined by Kyle from the Matt Chat. Also, if anybody listens to our Amazing Race coverage, you will know him as McKenna's co-host for that. He is also the reason for Tegwith's panic attack over the name Matt Chat. She really loved the name Matt Chat when she joined our channel, and she wanted to do her Monday episodes with guests as Matt Chat. This can be a great idea. And then she was like, oh my God, there's somebody who already has a name on YouTube called the Matt Chat. What do I do? And I was like, I don't know, reach out to him. At the time, I didn't realize it was your channel. So Kyle, you've caused a lot of chaos on this channel. You've also been very helpful to this channel. And here you are making your debut in the prop bet game, ready to break it all down with you. Thanks for joining.
Yes, thank you for having me. I remember when I found out that Tegwith was going to make a segment called the Matt Chat, your friend and mine, Austin Garso, was telling me that he was putting together a logo because Tegwith was doing the Matt Chat. And I was like, no way. I'm also the Matt Chat. So it's like, this will be hopefully we can coexist. I think that we've come to a good coexistence here. She's doing well. And if somebody's looking for you guys and they come see me, or they're looking for me and they come see you, I think that works well too.
That's not such a bad thing, right? I know you've been killing it with some Australian Survivor stuff. I know that. I know you've been our number one guy for confessional counts and everything, but I know you've also had quite a few videos over there with Australian Survivor that have done really well. So happy to have you here. You are tagged in the description. So if you guys come out of this thinking you like Kyle, now you know where to find him. If you don't like Kyle, don't click the description unless you're going to go buy something from Idol Plays over there, Russell Muscle TV. If you want to buy something from Idol Plays, use our code. You get something off. So there you go. There's the plug. Click the description for that, even if you don't like Kyle. But if you do like Kyle, now you know what to do. Kyle, we're predicting episode number 11, but we got some stuff to talk about today. I wish I had like a clip of Bryce Isaiah that I could just be like, hit the button and it's just him saying something in his sassy way right before we get to something. And then him doing his little, because we had Billie Eilish speak out today and the clip is going viral around the Survivor community. And I have a lot of feelings about it and I have a lot of thoughts about it. And I will tell you what, I will not be hitting anybody hard or soft this weekend and going to see her little movie. Not that I was going to anyway. I'm not her audience. But I hope that this turns off some of the Survivor fans who are also Billie Eilish fans, because I thought this was so bratty and so mean and so just out of touch with the fact of, man, Survivor, like, just let you plug your movie last week. I think it's a CBS movie, Paramount movie, whatever. I felt like she was mocking the Survivor community. I feel like she was mocking Survivor. I feel like she was just like mocking all of it. And maybe that's not the way some of you felt about it, but I feel like she was laughing at it. And the last thing I will say is, I know at the beginning of the year, there was like a big conversation of, look, Billie Eilish is big, but Billie Eilish will wear off at some point. Survivor's been on for 25 years. Why are we almost stooping to the level of Zac Brown and Billie Eilish going to this level of, like, you know, they're pop stars come and go. And I made the argument of, like, look, Billie Eilish is big. Like, Billie Eilish is as big as it gets. Like, look at all that Billie Eilish has done. But in like 15 years, when Billie Eilish isn't so big, I'm going to be playing that clip over and over again while Survivor's still going. And I'm going to be like, man, this is pretty funny. This is pretty, pretty funny. Because it just came across as so, I'm better than all of you. I'm better than all of the people who watch Survivor. I'm better than the people who play it. I'm better than Jet. Like, it just really grossed me out, really rubbed me the wrong way. I could be overreacting. If you guys want to go watch Brandon Donlan's story from earlier today, he was in Times Square and he was trying to show a video of Billie Eilish, but then he accidentally turned his camera around so you can get a really extreme close-up on his mouth while he's pretty much telling her to go F herself. It was very enjoyable. Kyle, how do you feel about this? I know you just watched the clip before we went live.
I did. I saw it was online, but I hadn't had a chance to watch it yet. It reminds me of, like, if you're in high school and you're hanging out with the cool kid or someone that you think is the cool kid and you're worried that they're making fun of you, but it's like, no, we're cool. And then you find out later that they were talking shit about you. Like, that's what this is what you fear, right? Billie Eilish, she didn't make a cameo like all the celebrities did on this season. And then here she is on a podcast talking and laughing about it and calling it the little note. I didn't have quite as strong a reaction to it as you did. I think I kind of had like figured that this was how she felt about it, but it certainly doesn't feel great when, you know, one of the celebrities and one of the people that they're promoting on this season turns around and has a reaction to it like that.
I mean, especially we lost Genevieve because of this stupid idol, and they slapped Billie Eilish's name on it just to slap Billie Eilish's name on it for like the cross promotion. Look, when they had Zach Brown, it was like, well, why are they bringing Zach Brown? Well, then also who's performing at every commercial break of the NCAA tournament? It was Zach Brown. Zach and I know Brown. That all those games aren't on CBS. People have corrected me on that a lot. I know I watched them all. TBS, TNT, True TV. They're all owned by the same brand. They're all owned by Turner, whatever it is now. I don't pay that much attention, but it's all owned by the same people. And so Zach Brown, that was a plug. And that was a way to be like, hey, look at Zach Brown, got a new album coming out. This is what's going on. Also, it's a plug with Survivor and he's a fan. And I know a lot of us were really worried about the Mr. Beast thing last week. And I think Mr. Beast really understood the assignment. I thought he was actually like kind of a joy to have on the show. He didn't take over the screen. Jimmy Fallon has Christian Hubicki come onto his show that night. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, you're having Christian Hubicki from Survivor 50, who just finished what, 11th place, whatever it was. He finished 11th place. Like, this isn't the winner. This isn't Final Four. This isn't Ceri Fields. This isn't Boston Rob Mariano. This is Christian, who he's only playing his second time, who's a legend to a lot of us, but isn't really a legend. And Jimmy Fallon's having this guy come on. And the Billie Eilish thing, it's like, she's not a fan of this. She's not. And Amy Poehler asks her, like, what do you think is fun about this? And it did remind me, like I think your comparison to like a high school thing was really apt, because it did remind me of, you have your friends, and it's like, this is my, everybody knows that you and this other guy are like best friends, but now you guys are sitting at the cool table and they start poking fun at your one friend. So now you start going that way and you're like betraying your friend. It felt like Billie Eilish felt like she had to laugh along with it because Amy Poehler was also laughing along with it. And I get, like, look, Amy Poehler is a big deal. I get it. You want to, you're going on the show. You want to have a good time. Be respectful of the show that like you just did this on, because honestly, none of us wanted you there. Like there were zero people in the Survivor community wanted you to be a part of this season. I understand that the producers and stuff wanted you to. And I know Jeff and the production team have really been going out and saying, these people reached out to us. They really wanted to be a part of it. Well, I can say this, Billie Eilish didn't want to be a part of it. And she didn't reach out to you guys. And if she did, you should have vetted her a little bit harder, because she hasn't posted a single positive thing about this the entire season. First time we're hearing from her is when she plugs her movie last week and says, I'm a Survivor fan. It's like, oh, read that off the script one more time so we can make sure we get that. And then she goes on this podcast and essentially mocks a community that's been around for, I don't know, probably longer than she's been alive. That rubs me the wrong way big time. And I think that automatically makes that addition to the game the worst part of the additions to the game for season 50, because she just didn't want to be there. And Zach Brown loves the show. Okay. Jimmy Fallon loves the show. And I think that, you know, Mr. Beast really appreciated this opportunity. I think he's a big fan of the show. If you didn't want to do it, you didn't have to do it. There's bigger pop stars than you out there that they could have gotten. And there's going to be bigger pop stars in the future that they could have gotten. And it just came across really, really bad. And there's going to be so many comments now. They're going to be like, Phil's got to get over it. I don't have to get over it. I didn't like it. And I don't like her for this. I'm going to be honest. Like, I just don't like her for this. I think it's stupid. And I think that that's how most of the community feels. And I'm very passionate about this community. That's why I've been doing this for 11 years. And yeah, like Brad Dottinger says, nothing she said or did was not surprising at all. I think, I don't know if the double negative is meant to be there, but like she's, this is what we expected. We all knew that she wasn't into it. We all thought she was like tied up in a room at this point. It's just disappointing. So anyway, Kyle, you said you weren't reacting as strongly. And I know that this is the first time having you on the podcast and I'm already going on one of my infamous rants here, but
I'm happy I'm here for it.
It just frustrates me, man.
Well, I'm sure you're not the only one. And we know that the Survivor community is very, very passionate. So it's small but mighty. You know, if you poke the hornet's nest, you're probably going to get some reactions to it. It's going viral for a reason. So, you know, I'm sure that it's not going to be a small roar about this. And like you said, like the other celebrities have made an effort to respect the show. Like they came out to the island, or Jimmy Fallon, he couldn't, but he had Christian on his podcast or on his talk show. So yeah, Billie Eilish has put in the least amount of effort. And the shame is, I actually thought that her twist was the best one, even though it didn't really work out that well. Thought it was an interesting idea at least, but yeah, she kind of screwed over a whole bunch of people and then said, fuck you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically. Exactly.
And that's that. And that's that. And it's a bummer. It's frustrating. But, you know, and now when you look back at it and you say, oh, man, what did we have? Well, Genevieve went out and she's, you know, Genevieve has all these confessionals of like, oh, Billie Eilish's first note to me. Like, Billie Eilish doesn't even know who you are, Genevieve. And I think that's the saddest part of it. Like, Mr. Beast does. Mr. Beast watches it. Zach Brown does. Zach Brown and Joe are like best buddies now. I'm pretty sure Zach Brown's about to be singing songs to Joe every Friday night for the rest of his life. And somehow here we have Billie Eilish where it's like, congrats on just being better than everybody. You're so holier than thou. Like, get out of here. Like, I don't even care. I honestly, and the funny thing is, I don't really listen to Billie Eilish's music. But I know who Billie Eilish is, obviously. Like, I've heard some of her songs. I've never had a problem with Billie Eilish. But this just rubbed me the wrong way so much that she certainly is not gaining a fan at any time soon from me. And that's all I can say on that.
Yeah, it's also not awesome for the show when you have like one of the biggest pop stars in the world on one of the biggest comedians in the world's podcast. And they're kind of like joke laughing about it. Like, obviously, the core fans, like, we're never going to change our opinions about it. But if somebody's casually listening, they're like, well, why would I go and watch that show now? You say you're a part of it, but you're not giving me any reason. Like, do you really like it? So,
yeah.
That's not a good look.
Impressionable people listening to a podcast and it's like, hey, Billie Eilish doesn't think it's cool. I shouldn't think it's cool. Maybe I'll go outside and play tonight. Just kidding. Nobody's going to do that. All right. Anyway, so let's talk about the season. Let's talk about what's actually taking place. Let's talk about Rick Devins, because Rick Devins is not Billie Eilish, right?
No.
Rick Devins has been getting such a positive reaction this entire week. Bill Simmons puts out something talking about how he's the clear MVP, LeBron 09 type level of obvious. We have other people just talking about Rick Devins. Saul this last week was really high on Rick Devins. Kyle, we're getting into a predictions episode. Tomorrow night is episode number 12. Yes. I think it's a double boot. I don't know if it's a double boot, but that's like what my feeling is, because we're getting down to it and because we got to get down to six probably by the finale. Rick Devins has an idol. Can Rick Devins survive this episode, though, if it is a double boot? Because can he win immunity is really the question. When you have Ozzy, you have Jonathan, and you have Joe, can Rick Devins pull anything like he did in Edge of Extinction?
He could. But I don't think it's very likely. I do think that if it's a double boot, he's going out. The other thing that we don't know is if his idol comes with any sort of twist. I know there's been a lot of speculation. Like, is it a full regular powered idol, or is there some other mechanism to it? Because I think that we're done with the celebrities for the season, but I don't necessarily think we're done with the twists and the tweaks here and there. So I'm wondering if that is going to be another wrinkle. And he could lie about it. He could say this is a real idol, but maybe it's another, you have to play this on somebody else or something to that effect. But we'll see. We know what the next challenge is. It's the Bermuda Triangle where they're standing in the water. So I don't think he's going to win that one. If he plays his idol there, it depends on what the next challenge is. But yeah, he's up against some all timers in the challenge department. So yeah, it's not looking great.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. I think this is where Ozzy finally ties Boston Rob. I think that's probably going to happen this week, and we'll get into that in a little bit. I mean, I have nothing to base it off of that it's two boots. I'm just wondering, like, my feeling is either this week or next week has to be a double boot because they're going to try to get to six for the finale. I thought last week would have been
should have been last week.
Yeah.
I could have sworn last week Mr. Beast was going to come out with the briefcase and say, okay, double the money, but also double the eliminations tonight. I thought that would have been a way that made sense to do a double boot, because now we're going to probably get like 2 45-minute rounds or so. Like we've seen them do that before, but in a 90-minute episode, you could get a little bit more out of that. So that's my prediction, whether it be this week or next week. But I'm so interested how we're going to get down to this finale, because even six people is a big finale. And it's like, we're going to have seven people in that. No way. So hey, we haven't heard any mention of a double boot. So I'm curious when they're going to reveal this.
Yeah, we haven't. And then D True Crime 2960 says, what if it's a two tribe double boot and Devins uses his idol? So I don't think we're going to split at 10 here. Like, we could, or what, we're at nine. So I don't think we're going to split at nine. I think that would be too late, too small of two duos. But what I wouldn't be surprised, like, so you had mentioned could there be a twist to this idol? Mm-hmm. And I feel like if there is a twist, it's that it's a super idol. And here's my reasoning why. And it comes back to what True Crime is saying here. My reason for that is Jeff wants to reward the person big time for what they just did. Right.
Yep.
They want, if you get up and you have the gall, the absolute gall, as Dan Foley once said, if you have that to get up there and flip that coin and you succeed, Jeff wants players to do those kinds of things because it makes for better TV. Look at the reaction people have had to last week's. I mean, Billie Eilish hasn't stopped talking about last week's episode. She loved it so much. Oh, yeah. And so you watch this moment happen and there's no way that this idol is let's go get, you have to give it to somebody else, whatever. But the twist could be that it's extra powered. Mm-hmm. My thing is though, going to what True Crime says, maybe it is a double boot. Maybe there's two boots at a tribal council. Maybe Devin's idol is actually good enough to get him through two tribal councils instead of just one. Would that be overpowered? Yes. But again, going back to the point, if you're going to do the coin flip, Jeff wants to overpower so that he can convince people in the future to take these wild chances on his reality TV show, because that's what makes good TV. So I would not be surprised at all if what Devin's has is super inflated. But I would be surprised if he had to give it away or if it was something similar to the Billie Eilish thing.
Yeah, that does make sense. When you're putting somebody's life in the game on the line, like the reward does have to equal that or exceed that, right? Like, so it would be basically three straight rounds of immunity because he was immune last time and then an idol that's good for two tribals, assuming he has to use it in the same night. That would, you know, that does make a lot of sense. And that could be why Rick is so giddy and why the tribe is shooketh, you know, that could be it.
Which is why we're not asking for the episode title here tonight, because it's Rick Devin's who says it. Anybody who's wondering, Jordan C with the super chat, Joe being fed up by Devin's lying is insane. He refuses to learn the show's premise. So let's talk positively about Joe. Because the internet's not doing it. And I think Joe's taken a beating and Joe's been out here. He's been posting a lot of stuff that kind of gives like the vibes of like, you just, we're going with high school analogies tonight, but it's like, you just broke up with your high school girlfriend. And now you go make like the really mysterious Facebook post of like, my true friends know who I am. And then like you disappear for a day, but really you don't disappear for a day. You're still like tuning back in to see if anybody else commented or like, if anybody else liked it. That's what Joe's doing right now. You know, he's talking about Coach being a great friend, somebody who understands that the show is different than real life and all that. And he's been talking about a lot of this stuff. He's been taking a beating because of the fact that he wants to play this truth and honest game, that he can't understand why Devin's would lie or anything like that. But Kyle, I don't know where you stand on Joe. So I'm curious, what do you think about Joe? And is there a way to spin things positively for Joe 2.0?
Well, if you wanted to talk positively about Joe, you got the right guy, because I've always had a personal affinity for Joe. He's from my hometown. I'm a huge Sacramento Kings fan. His wife is the commentator on the games. So he has a very personal connection to me. Of course, when I move away, finally someone from my hometown is on Survivor with all the watch parties, but it's all good. I think as a player, Joe did not do what I thought he would. I thought that after separating from Eva, he might, I don't know, just fill that role himself. Like, she was the brains, he was like the heart of the alliance, is how they describe themselves. So I thought that he might come out and play a little bit more cutthroat because he didn't have somebody to look after. But if anything, he's gone even more in the direction of like your word and trust and all that. But one thing that he did that I liked is that he knows where the power is. So like this week, there was some talk about making a move against Suri and Ozzy. But there's very powerful players. So he goes to Suri and he says, hey, there's this plan to vote you out. And he's spilling all this information. And Stephanie was obviously very upset about that. She credits Joe or discredits Joe as being the reason why she went home. Mm-hmm. But I kind of liked that from Joe, where it's like, this ship is sinking. I'm getting off your ship. I know where the power is. I know how to stay safe in this game. It's with Suri right now. So I'm going to do that. And whether he like is conscious of that or not, as like that's his strategy, I thought that it was a good move. And look, he's here. I think he's personally going to make it to Final Tribal again. I don't see any reason why you're going to get rid of him. And he was good enough to survive this long with different groups of people. He's with Sari, but he was with Coach before. He has Jonathan. So, you know, I think of the people left, he's probably playing the worst game objectively. But I do think that he's still making good enough moves to stay in the majority and stay safe.
I think it's an interesting point of him trying to go where the power is, because Joe isn't the kind of strategist for survival. I mean, look, we all know Joe's story is that his sister was a huge fan, obviously had the horrible situation where the domestic violence, and he goes, he applies for the show. And, you know, a lot of this is for his sister, right? Like a lot of what he's doing is like in honor of his sister, and he's not the biggest Survivor fan. So I think for him, when he sees that he's outnumbered, we were at Final 10 last week, he's outnumbered what he thinks is 7-3. Mm-hmm. I don't think he really understands how you can take that 7-3 and turn it into a 6-4 advantage. And I'm not saying that he's like stupid. That's not my point with this. My point with this is somebody like Rick Devins, when he's down 7-3, is trying to figure out how he can be the chaotic person who makes that a 5-5 tie or a 6-4 advantage, right? Mm-hmm. Or how can he negate somebody's vote or just convince people of craziness and get a split vote or something like that? That's not how Joe plays. And on Joe's first season was totally, totally, totally about honor and integrity, play with the numbers. There's no flips of power. It's just straightforward. So he didn't even get to see it take place on his season. So he doesn't really know the game. He doesn't see it take place on his first season. And now he comes out this season. He's on the wrong side of the numbers for the first time in his Survivor career, mind you. Mm-hmm. And he decides, hey, I need to go where the numbers are. I think that's a really good way to spin that and to talk about that. And I didn't realize that his wife was also the announcer for the Kings. That's crazy. That's crazy news. I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, Katie Christensen's husband is going to be on Survivor? Like,
that's a very niche market. That's for sure.
Hey, what can I say?
Yeah.
They got to have somebody.
They got to have somebody. No, that's crazy. I mean, the Kings. I mean, that's the whole thing, right? Game was rigged against the Kings so the Lakers could go to the finals because the Kings were too small of a market and they needed the Lakers in the finals.
I still remember
that. Yep. I'll never forget. Peja and Flotty Diva.
That's my man.
I know. Those are my two. I love that team. Anyway, all right, so that's about Joe. So let's talk about where we see this going this week. Let's say it is just one boot, because again, I have no idea. I'm just trying to figure out how they're getting down to six. But let's say this is just one boot. Where is your mind going with how this is going to be? We're at 9. I know 7 a lot of times is where people will try to make moves. Jeff tends to try to take away people's idols and other stuff like that. Or take away their votes, not their idols. He wants them to have idols. He wants no votes. He wants chaos. Yeah. He doesn't want straightforward votes. But at this final 9, we actually have the potential for a pretty straightforward vote, right? I mean, you're going to have an extra vote from Sari. You have three idols. But if everybody knows Devins has an idol, is this a time to try to make a move? Do you think we might see them try to make a move? Or do you think that we are just going to get a very, very, very straightforward boot?
We'll definitely see people trying to make a move, because there are some desperate people in the game trying to get stuff on their resume, such as Aubrey, who is talking about how she wants to make a move. She's trying. This is the time of the game, the late game, where the big moves are made, and that's where you win. So I think that she could potentially try to make a move. But the thing that makes the most sense, I don't know if you agree, but to just get Emily out. Like, I think Emily could be a very straightforward vote if they split the vote between her and Rick. Jonathan's also on the bottom. But if I was going to predict, I would say that Emily is going home this week. At least in the first tribal council, if we get another one, because it's going to be so hard with Ozzy and Rizzo. Like, that alliance has two idols and an extra vote. And especially if they pull in Rick, then yeah, like you said, that's three idols. So how are you going to make a move against that when you're working with somebody like Joe, who's spilling information, right? He likes Sari. Tiffany also likes Sari. So how are you going to make a move against that alliance and actually pull it off? I don't see it.
Yeah, you'd have to get people realizing that it's not about who you like at this point. It's about who you can beat. And I do think that there's some players who are like that. Like, I asked the question to Steven this past week. Like, at what point does Rizzo say, I can no longer play the game with Sari and Ozzy? At what point? Because it has to be coming. And I think Aubrey's waking up to that. I think Aubrey's, you know, last week with her confessional, with her talking about Michelle, all these things, I think Aubrey's realizing something's got to happen or I'm not winning this game. But like somebody like Rizzo, when does he realize? And is Rizzo, I mean, if Rizzo were to make the move to get rid of Ozzie or three, that would be an all timer. I mean, that would be an all timer. And if that kid gets to the final three, somebody better vote for him, because that would be an epic move.
Yeah. I think Rizzo's really the key to it, because he's someone who I think is good enough to where, and he's built such a bond with Suri and Ozzy that they'll believe him when he's telling them, no, you're good. But if Aubrey or somebody can flip Rizzo and get him working on that vote, that's going to be the key. And that's something that Rizzo is going to be able to claim, is the thing about it. So if Aubrey or Tiffany or Jonathan is trying to lead a vote, they may not get that credit. Rizzo may get that credit if he's the one sitting there next to them, because it was his alliance. He was the one that needed to lie to them. So if he's on board, then a move could definitely happen this week.
Yeah. And what about Jonathan right now? Jonathan's just floating, right? Stephanie goes this week now. So now Stephanie's out of the game. We're down to final nine. Jonathan has pretty much lost his entire honor and integrity alliance. Maybe he still feels that he has Joe, but essentially Joe turned around and went and told Suri. So who does he really have? Jonathan feels like he's on an island. Does this put Jonathan in a power position? Does this make Jonathan easily expendable? Like, what do you think is going to happen with Jonathan this week?
I think Jonathan, you know who he reminds me a little bit of right now is Xander. Because Xander was getting a lot of credit in the edit for things that he wasn't necessarily responsible for doing. Right, he was someone who the casuals were saying, if he gets the end, he's going to win. How did Xander not win? How did he get no votes? I think Jonathan is someone who the casuals might be seeing similarly right now. And that the edit is kind of propping him up. He got a ton of credit in that Christian boot episode, even though he wasn't necessarily one of the people who was like the main decision maker, right? Like it was Suri in that group who was had the numbers.
And then he got a massive amount of credit, as Will pointed out, in the previously on, which I thought was crazy because didn't feel like he did anything. And the previously on was like, Jonathan made this happen. It's like, what?
It's really strange. And there's no way that the players out there are seeing him the same way, right? They're seeing him probably as people saw him on his first season, as like the dumb jock. That's what his image is and his appearance is. So to me, he's someone that people are probably going to continue to just let float along and kind of bring further into the game. I think that he has more win equity than Joe would at the end. But he's also someone that I'm not sure anyone is saying like, wow, we need to get Jonathan out now. And you're right. That this is the point in the game when people are going to start talking about, it's not who I like, it's who I can beat or the moves I need to make to get on my resume. And I don't think that Jonathan is going to be one of those moves that people are like, I need to claim that.
Also, if Jonathan was playing as good of a strategic game as the edit is leading us to believe, and he's the physical presence that he is, there's no way they wouldn't be voting for him, especially as the numbers of his alliance dwindle, right? Like, he would have to be getting votes. So I think that's a really good point. And I think the Xander comparison is fair. I mean, I think that for Joe is just like a fan favorite offline in a big way.
Yeah,
but I do think that Jonathan is somebody that a lot of casuals are looking at going, wow, this guy's playing a really good game. And I know that Will and I have both been saying he's playing a really good game, too. Like, I think he's playing actually a phenomenal game, especially compared to what he played the first time. I don't necessarily know if it's a winning game, but I think he is playing a really good game. And I think the edit is giving us credit for it. But I do think part of that also is there's an argument to be made. And this is going to get me in a lot of trouble. There's an argument to be made that Joe and Jonathan were the two most popular people returning for this season in the grand scheme of the 5 million people who watch Survivor. And I know that might sound crazy to a lot of people, but a lot of people aren't going back and watching older seasons. So they haven't seen Suri and Ozzy in a really long time. They're not watching AU. Survivor fans aren't necessarily watching the traders. Like we consume this stuff nonstop. I watched a bunch of people on the internet yesterday convince themselves that Natalie Anderson played a better game than JT because of the groupthink that goes on in the online community. They had Natalie Anderson beat JT in the bracket, even though JT played the first perfect game. And everybody said, well, she couldn't play a perfect game because the people had loved ones on the jury. Sorry, I coughed. Had loved ones on the jury. And it's like, well, what about Reed? Well, Reed doesn't really count. It's like, okay, so she played a perfect game if you don't take into account the stipulations of that season plus Reed. Like, you just whatever you need this story to be. And that's the thing. And those people really drive the narrative of what people want. I was listening to something Tony Squares posted today with Shaheen. And it was about the two of them talking about how like the online community, these like stan accounts that don't have a real picture, don't have anything. They're the loudest, but they're in no way, shape or form actually the majority of Survivor fans. And so when you go offline, the two people that are remembered, Joe had his episode played twice. Everybody remembers Joe because of what he did for Eva, and Jonathan being this big hulking man who comes out and dominates a challenge. That's what people remember. Like that's what connects with like regular people, because they're larger than life. And so there is that argument. And so there is the potential that Jonathan is getting a significantly better edit than he should be, because CBS and the producers and the editors are saying, hey, Jonathan's got to be a major storyline on this season, because the fan base that's not online loves him. We can make the fan base that's online happy. That's going to be easy. Cerie's doing great. We don't need to work hard to make that happen. But we got to do something with Jonathan. And I think there's going to be a lot of people offline who are going to be super, super confused when Jonathan loses, just like they were when Xander lost, or when Jake O'Kane lost, or any of these other people whose names I can't think of. Spencer. When Spencer gets smoked in Second Chance, offline community was like, well, what are you talking about? Spencer was the greatest player of all time. How did this happen? So,
about when Aubrey lost?
Yeah,
that's this a good one. Is where, so I want to touch on this, if that's all right.
Yeah.
From what I'm seeing right now, I'm predicting that the final three is going to be Joe third place, no votes. Mm-hmm. Jonathan second place. That's why he's getting this big, you know, kind of edit. And then Aubrey will end up winning. And I know that you've talked about this a lot. You know, that's her story is starting now, but that's what I think is going to be the ironic thing, is that the person that the casuals think should win, Jonathan, is going to lose to someone who we haven't seen do as much. That's kind of the story that I feel like we're being told here. So that's just where I just wanted to throw that out there, because I see Jonathan as like as a losing finalist, and we're going to be headed in another Michelle versus Aubrey debate. Maybe not as big, but it could be something similar. And this time Aubrey is on the other side of it.
Yeah. Well, and that I started talking about that like a couple weeks ago, of the irony if she is really just getting the Michelle Corong edit. And then last week when they're showing all the clips of Michelle, I'm like, okay, she is getting the Michelle Corong edit. Like it was crazy to me how quickly it felt like that shifted and was confirmed for me. And, you know, I'm actually rewatching Corong right now for Every Season Matters on the Patreon. Through the first four episodes, Michelle and Aubrey have the same amount of confessionals.
Oh, yeah.
Four. And you know who didn't go to a tribal council? Michelle. You know who did? Aubrey. I'm just saying. And so when I sit here and I watch this and I see how they're editing Aubrey all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, Aubrey feels like she's winning the season. So who does she beat? Well, she can't beat Cerie and Ozzy. So they can't be at the end, right? She can't beat Devins at this point. So Devins can't be at the end. Plus Devins isn't really getting like a finalist edit. I'd love it, but Devins isn't getting a finalist edit. She can beat Emily. She can beat Rizzo. I do think though, Aubrey is sitting next to two new era players. Right now, we've seen her really go out of her way to bond with Tiff. And we've seen her really go out of her way to bond with Jonathan. I could see it as an Aubrey, Jonathan, Tiff final three, with Tiff as the zero vote finalist, and the online community being confused, and Jonathan being the second place finalist, and the offline community being confused, and Aubrey being the winner, and us going back in a time warp to 2016 going, what the hell just happened? That Joe Pesci getting off looking at Cleveland meme. That's what it would feel like here. So I think your final three makes a lot of sense, because I think Joe is really being set up to take the same fall as he took the first time.
Yeah, and it just, from a logical standpoint, it just doesn't make any sense why you would vote him out, except if you were going to do like what they did with Abby Maria in Cambodia and just say, this person's going to take up a spot, let's get him out, right? That's really the only reason why you'd vote him out. And he's too good at challenges and fire to be eliminated at the final four. So, and people would bring him there anyway. So I just think it makes too much sense for him. And Aubrey had a bizarre confessional at the beginning of last episode about all the pieces on the board, and she needs to find the right combination of pieces to get. It came so out of nowhere that I was like, what is this? And then we get the confessional later. So then I was like, all right, I see what they're doing here.
Yeah. It's starting to become obvious. And I've said this before. if Aubrey does end up winning this season, the online community and all of us fans are not allowed to start going, it was so obvious Aubrey was going to win, because it became obvious in episode 10. If she wins, that was one of the most obvious episodes you'll see for a winner edit. Before episode 10, I'm sitting here thinking Aubrey's a zero vote finalist. I'm wondering why she's getting confessionals in every episode. It made no sense to me. Ben Katzman did. Yeah. So maybe she's a zero vote finalist. You know what I mean? Like, it could make sense.
Yeah.
And so, but after last week, I'm like, okay, this seems pretty obvious. And I know that we Survivor fans love to go back in time and say, this was really obvious. This was really obvious. And I know Will was doing it when we were doing the Cambodia podcast, and I had to call him on it because I was like, no, you didn't think Jeremy was obvious. You thought Spencer had a chance to win the season. Like, there's no way you thought it was obvious. Now, in retrospect, if you watch the season a second time, it's pretty obvious Jeremy's the winner from final nine on, because Wentworth just is battling too far uphill, and Spencer's actually not growing at all as a person on that season. But you didn't really realize it the first time right away, and that's how I feel right here. If Aubrey wins, we didn't know until episode 10. That's a much different story than Sarah Lucina. That's a much different story than, you know, some of these other return, Cochran, you know, Tyson, these different players that we've seen in the past on returning player season. So, you know, nobody will be as surprising as maybe Sandra or Amber, but that was a long time ago at this point. So what do we know?
Yeah, exactly. They're editing it differently now. She does have the confessional in every episode. One thing I want to point out is it's always interesting to look at the medevacs. And Q had a quote in the next time on Survivor that was like, one of us is going to win this, man. One of us is going to win this. And Aubrey was on that tribe. So I don't know. And so they showed it. They wanted to highlight it. I don't know if that was just a thing that they put in there for as a red herring, or if that is going to end up mattering. But I haven't forgotten it. And then so once we now see all this from Aubrey, it's like I'm trying to put the pieces together, and we'll see if they end up coming true.
Look, these episodes are an hour long now when you take out commercials.
Yeah.
They have 24 to 48 to 72 hours every time. They are going to put only stuff in that matters.
Yeah.
That's it. They're only going to put in stuff that matters to the story. Now, granted, did they put in Zach Brown this season? Yeah, but that mattered to their pocketbook, so it made sense. They're only going to put in stuff that makes sense for the story and for the show that is out there. They're going to try to give as many characters an arc as they possibly can. Every now and then, somebody slips through the cracks, like Chrissy this season. But if they're putting that line in, it either means that that person wins, or it means that because that group didn't stick together, they all fall apart and they can't win. And when you look at it, it could be either of those still at this point, because from the original Purple Tribe, it's just Aubrey and Rizzo left in the game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if Rizzo is also looking very good. He could win too.
Yeah, Rizzo has more. I keep saying it. Rizzo just has such an uphill battle at Final Three, no matter who he sits next to. Like, he's got to be next to probably Joe and Tiffany, or Joe and Emily,
yeah,
I think, to win. And even then, he might lose.
Yeah, just because of who he is.
Yeah. Exactly. But I think Rizzo's playing a pretty solid game. So let's get into these questions so that this isn't like, you know, such a long podcast. You know? But
everyone knows that familiar feeling when you just can't answer that one simple question. What's for dinner? Well, thanks to Omaha Steaks, I find myself in that situation way less frequently. Dinner is handled in minutes when I keep my freezer stocked with restaurant quality protein from Omaha Steaks. And it's not just tender steaks. We're talking flavorful burgers, chicken, seafood, sides, and even desserts, all delivered directly to my door. So whether it's a rushed weeknight evening or a Saturday night cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. And let me fill you in on a little secret I've been using the past few years. Omaha Steaks proteins aren't just great to have in your own fridge. They also make fantastic gifts. When my dad's birthday comes around, I'll gift him one of the many options of steak packs, and it's an instant win-win. One year I got him the complete cookout collection, which is perfect because he enjoys grilling up everyone a great meal, and I make sure I'm there to celebrate with him, so I get a fantastic steak dinner myself. Win-win. Feel free to use that one. And I want to clarify something for any skeptics out there. Yes, frozen delivery can be this good. Omaha Steaks is known for their meticulous aging process and vacuum-sealed individual packaging. shipped nationwide and arrives frozen, ready for grilling, searing, and roasting with minimal effort and time. No last-minute runs to the store. They can't match the quality Omaha spent generations perfecting. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from 5 distinct cuts of meat. We got filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers, each with their own different flavor and style. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99, plus get $35 off with promo code BEEF. This isn't some rinky-dinky discount. That's $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
In Backtrack by Mark Cameron, the past is prologue for a violent criminal with three names, Ricky Lee Pink. Pink has been rotting in jail for years, plotting revenge against the man who thwarted his almost perfect theft of $5 million in diamonds. That man, Wayne Cutter, is deceased, but his grandson, Arliss, is very much alive, for now. Pink and Cutter are about to collide in a violent confrontation on a floating city in the middle of the water, a massive cruise ship traveling around Alaska's Inside Passage. An experienced U.S. Marshal, Arliss must move fast but cautiously, or he may be the last of the Cutter family tree. As Survivor fans, it's not just the strategy and social dynamics that keep us enthralled. It's also the idea of man versus wild. This concept is at the heart of all Mark Cameron's novels, and it's especially prevalent in Backtrack. It's one of the main reasons I enjoyed this book, and as listeners of The Specialists, I know you will too. If you're an outdoor enthusiast, fan of Wilderness Thrillers by authors C.J. Box and William Kent Kruger, or just love a fast-paced action thriller from the likes of Brad Thor or Jack Carr, make sure to pick up your copy of Backtrack today. An Alaskan resident and Texas native with nearly 30 years in law enforcement, Cameron is a master of action and gritty detail. He brings explosive authenticity to Backtrack as U.S. Marshal Arliss Cutter's manhunt will employ all his skills and knowledge as a member of the U.S. Marshal's service. Backtrack by Mark Cameron is available now wherever books are sold. All right, so the first question that I have here is, who will be the last person shown getting up to vote at the final tribal council of the episode? So I worded this as the final tribal council of the episode, just in case there are two, because I don't know.
Right.
So I'm going to say if there's only one, whoever the last person to get up, that's who counts. Who will be the last person shown getting up to vote at the final tribal council of the episode? Who do you have?
I have Jonathan, because Jonathan, he's a big guy. He's more likely to sit on the end than in the middle. Mm-hmm. Last week, he was on the very right-hand side from our perspective. And that is, you know, who would usually be the last person to go up and vote. So I got Jonathan for that reason.
Yeah, I like that. Last week it was Sari. And so they are going by like who's the furthest over, closest to Jeff. I feel like I think that's how they pretty much do it. I'm going to go with Rizzo here. I feel like with Rizzo, if there are two, he'll be there for both because he has the idol. And I do feel like Rizzo is going to be impactful to this vote. So if they do want to line them up as like, where does Rizzo go? I feel like Rizzo is, you know, if somebody's going to turn on Sari or Ozzy, it has to be Rizzo because they're not going to turn on each other. So I'm going to say Rizzo here for this one. This is a random one. And this has been fun throughout the season of just making it random, keeping it random. I feel like that's been really good.
It is.
So the next one I have, who will be the first person out of the immunity challenge? Now, if there are two, it's both of them count. Like I didn't feel like rewriting this question. Both of them count. If they're not endurance based, we know that we're getting the A-frame one. If the other one is, you know, a puzzle or something and it's a race, there won't be a first person out. So that one doesn't, you can only win it for the first one, but this is for the A-frame one. And if there's another endurance based challenge, which there probably won't be, but who do you have as the first one out?
Well, I hate to say it, but I got Sari. I think Sari is never going to be a bad answer to this. Right. Like, she's great at every single aspect of this game except for challenges. I believe I've kept a tally. She is the person who's played in the most individual immunity challenges without a win. And that's a record that I don't think is going to ever be broken. I think we're on like 26 or 27 now. So, if you're going by the numbers, you got to pick Sari for this.
That's crazy. 26 or 27. So it's
something
funny
like that.
It's funny because, again, we always talk about how Ceree's the best player to never win. Mm-hmm. But she has such a glaring problem with her game, and that's that she can't win the physical portion ever. She can't win the challenges. I mean, you even think about some of these players who are known more for their strategy, and they're not really known at all for their, you know, physical gameplay or their challenge prowess. There's always a challenge that fits somebody. And that's the biggest problem with Ceree, right? Because Ceree doesn't have a challenge that fits her ever. And so she really can never sit at the end.
That's the issue. And everyone knows it. So everyone's okay with letting her get to the final four.
Yeah.
Now she's going to cause hell on the way there and probably destroy most of your games. But yeah, it's like sometimes you just need to win a challenge to get to the end. We wouldn't be talking about Chris Doherty as one of the best players of all time if he doesn't win that final immunity. So sometimes you just need to win a challenge to get there.
I'm very glad that I brainwashed you. Thank you.
Oh, you got it. He is. He's great.
I love it. Thank you. I'm glad to hear. I had a friend who actually just watched that season, and he got through like the first six episodes. He's like, this season sucks. I'm like, one of my all-time favorites. He's like, how? The cast stinks, this, whatever. He texts me after, he goes, all right, that's one of the best. He was like, that was so awesome. I never saw that coming. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, Vanuatu is so damn good. I have Emily for this. Emily's bad at challenges. Yeah. I don't see Emily being good at balance. And I feel like Emily is one of those people who, as soon as she realizes she's not going to win, she's just jumping in, man. Now, what do you think the crazy incident at the challenge?
Yeah, I honestly have no idea. I've tried to think about it. Is it going to be a medical scare? I don't think so. I saw a commercial. They have a boat coming in. So I wonder if it's like first person to drop right now, you're going on a journey for something. Like, I don't know. My prediction is that over a medical scare, but shocking incident is that word choice is really throwing me off.
Yeah, that's crazy. We'll have to see what happens with that one, because when I saw the boat, I thought the same thing. Maybe the first person out just goes on the journey, but this is normally such a quick game. It's normally so fast that I don't know how you could like say, okay, we're going to bring in the boat while everybody's still sitting. Like, normally everybody gets to the top level and then they all fall off really fast. So maybe
that would also
over on the side, but
that would also cause a lot of waves. So they probably wouldn't do that for this challenge. But this is also the challenge where Steven Fishback jumped into the water for the steal a vote. So I don't know what they're going to do, but yeah, the boat coming in doesn't seem logical for this challenge. So it probably is a surprise of sorts.
Yeah. All right. Who will win immunity? I already said, I think this is the week. I've been picking Ozzy like crazy. He's been letting me down, but Ozzy's got this one. I would be pretty shocked if he loses.
I also have Ozzy. I think that this is made for him. There's actually only one person on this season who's won this challenge, and that's Jonathan of all people, because you wouldn't think somebody like him would be built for this. But even with that, I think Ozzy's just got him. Ozzy's never been able to play in this challenge. So I think that the first time that he's going to try it out, he's going to get it.
That's a good point. I never realized that Ozzy never got to do this one. I feel like this one's built for Ozzy. I mean, it's a balanced thing on the water. I feel like Ozzy's going to be golden here. I have pretty much zero doubt that Ozzy is going to pull this out here. So who will be the first person? Jeff asks a question at the first tribal council. Again, if there's only one tribal council, first question is the only one that matters. But who will be the first person, Jeff, asks the question at the first tribal?
I'm going to go with the person who probably is going to have the most to say, and that's Rick Devins. Because I think Jeff is probably going to check in with him about how the last tribal went, how you feeling, how were the past couple of days now that you have an idol and we're immune. So there's so much stuff to ask Rick that I think regardless of what else takes place in the episode, unless it is some kind of insane thing that happens at the challenge, like they need to check in with somebody health wise. I think Rick is the obvious choice.
Yeah. I have the same person.
Yeah.
Same person. Like Rick Devins is getting asked. Devins, the last time we were here, you flipped a coin. Now, the only way that it's not Devins who gets asked it, if it's like Ceree, the last time we were here, Devin's flipping like that's going to be what the first question is going to be about. But yeah, I have Devin's as well. I think it's locked in. McKenna's texting me right now. So McKenna interrupting your debut on the big show here. But who will mention a player on this season that is no longer in the game? So it has to be a player who was at least on this season, but they're no longer in the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got the same person. I got Rick Devens again because I think that he's going to have the first confessional of the episode. He's going to break down everything that happened, and then he's going to end it with, and then Stephanie went home or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I think whoever has the first confessional of the episode is going to narrate how the last tribal went down. I'm assuming it's going to be Rick after what he went through at that tribal council. So I got him for this one also.
I have Jonathan for this. I think that Jonathan is the guy because I think he's the one most impacted by Steph leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with him for this because I could see him saying that's three in a row now, or not three in a row. I lost Christian. I had control over that one. Losing Stephanie, I did not. I already lost Coach. I lost Chrissy. Now I've lost Stephanie. Like, I think he's going to mention multiple people that he's lost. And I think the narrative for this season so far has been that Jonathan should be talking about this stuff. So I'm going to have Jonathan for my answer here.
Yeah, it's true. He has had a lot of opening confessionals. Like you said, he was one of the first last week. He's been a main narrator. So I think that that's a really good pick as well.
Yeah. And then who will have fewer than six confessionals? And so I'm pulling this up again because this is crazy. And forgive my internet cuts. I haven't gotten set up yet. I'm working on it, man. We got our stuff coming Thursday right before my Omer podcast. Hopefully it's before my Omer podcast. Otherwise that podcast is going to be a very, very long podcast. But I want to pull this up because I think that this season has been pretty wild in terms of confessionals.
Yeah.
And who's getting a lot, but who's not necessarily getting a lot in each individual episode. So I have this up here. Ozzy has obviously blown six out of the water numerous times. Devens had eight last week. He's had six a couple times. Sari had six last week. She had eight earlier. Emily's had a nine, although she's been under six forever after that. Jonathan has 1-9, 1-8. Rizzo has an 8 and a 7. Last two episodes, though, 2 1s. And then Tiffany also has a 6 in here. Aubrey and Joe do not have 6 confessionals in an episode yet. Aubrey has had a confessional in every episode, but never more than 4. And Joe has had a confessional in all but one episode and never more than 5. So who are you going with for this one?
I am going to go with Joe here. He was my answer last week as well for this, which, by the way, I'm 88th place right now in this thing.
I think I'm like 108th, so yeah. I'm not much.
And I missed a week, so I'm so pissed. I was so pissed. Now, would I be even close to the top? No, but I was still pissed. I am the reigning prop bet champion, though. So
yeah. Well, that's because we did it preseason. That's because now that we're doing it in the season.
Now we're doing it now. Then I suck. But I'm going to go with Joe. He, like you said, he hasn't had 6. I don't see any reason why we need to check in on him 6 times in this episode when we're probably going to have so much else going on with Devens, with if Aubrey's trying to make a move, with Suri, Ozzy, Rizzo. Like, there's too many people who are going to be trying to play, and Joe is not one of the people who's trying to play right now. So there's no way that he gets 6.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Rizzo. Rizzo's gone really, really quiet the last couple weeks. Like I said, one confessional in each episode the last couple weeks. He has a 7. He has an 8. The rest of them have been low. He's had a couple really big episodes, but he has not been consistent at all. And I worry that his storyline has just fallen to the background of that alliance. It's been the Suri and Ozzy show.
It has. His confessional last week was just in the montage about the auction. As they were walking in, he was like, I can't believe I'm at the auction. That was all he got in 2 hours when his name came up. So as a target. So, really strange edit here from Rizzo. I think that that's a pretty decent pick with where he's been trending lately.
The next one, this is the first time I'm using this one since the premiere. Who will be the last person to get their first confessional in this episode? So people have pretty much been getting at least a confessional every episode. There haven't been many zeros recently. I think we're past the zero. So who will be the last person to get their first confessional in this episode? Now, if there is somebody who gets 0, the 0 person counts. Like, I'm counting the 0 person. So that's where people are going to ask that question over on the Real TV Fantasy League. Listen to the podcast, and that's where you get your answers. If somebody gets a 0, they are the answer for this. But who will be the last person to get their first confessional in this episode?
Well, I'd be shocked if somebody had zero at this point, but I guess you never know. I'm going to go with Tiffany because I think she was one of the last to get it in the last couple episodes. She's not getting, you know, a particularly large edit. She's not someone who's been very important to the main storylines this season. Same thing with Joe. For me, it was a toss-up between her and Joe. They're the people that we need to check in with the least. So I think that she's as good a pick as anybody for this.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Joe on this one. So it's funny you said the coin flip. The way that I'm seeing this, though, is that Joe is going to not get the confessionals Jonathan's going to take. Like, essentially, Joe and Jonathan are going to have the same things to say. And so far this season, when they have the same things to say, Jonathan has gotten the confessionals, not Joe. And I think that's what's going to happen here. I think Jonathan's going to come back. It's like you talked about earlier. He's going to be the one who mentioned Stephanie. He's going to mention losing her. And we're not going to hear from Joe until later in the episode when everybody else starts saying, what do we need from Joe? So I have Joe as the answer to this one.
I think that's a very good pick.
Who will cast the deciding vote this week? So if there are two tribals, there'd be two answers to this. But who will cast the deciding vote? I am going to go first. I'm going Aubrey. I feel like they've been setting up Aubrey to be meaningful, that she's going to make a move, that she's going to do something. Whether she flips on somebody or doesn't flip on somebody, I feel like Aubrey is finally going to actually be a part of what is happening on the season. So I'm going to go with Aubrey.
I think that's a really good pick. I think that she's definitely going to be the person driving some type of move this week. I have Rizzo for the same reasoning as why you had him for the last person shown getting up to vote. He's been in the group that's been like the main decision makers throughout the season. Yeah, he's in the middle. If there is some type of move to be made against Sarir Azzi, he's going to be a huge part of it. So I think that he's a likely person to be like the deciding vote. Like, oh, that was Rizzo's move.
I like that. I could see Rizzo too, but if I don't know, I'm not giving any love to Rizzo right now.
Well, he's been my answer for this every week, and it hasn't happened. So why do I continue to do it? I don't know. But
that's like me with Coach. Coach was gonna have to be the guy with the most confessionals at some point, and I just kept picking Coach.
Well,
just
you got it once.
Coach. Yeah, got it once. And this week, who will have the most confessionals? On three, Rick Devins.
All right, so. That's a good one. I did get him last week because I figured, but I am going to go with Aubrey for the reasonings that you were saying about how she's, you know, she's going to be the deciding vote. I think that she is going to be the main character of the episode, because if we think that this is where her winner story is going to start, I think that this is a good time for her to have the most confessionals in an episode. Right now, I'm looking at the chart. She has the third fewest confessionals of the people still left. She has the same number post-merge as Tiffany, who everybody is saying is the most purple person since Purple Kelly from Nicaragua.
Lies, but all of it.
Yeah. You gotta wait till the cake is baked, you know?
Yeah. Tiffany's been killing it post-merge.
Yeah. But I do think that this is where Aubrey will separate herself. I think that she's going to be driving the strategy. And so I got her for the most confessionals.
I had her for the most confessionals last week, and then she ended up with four, which was, you know, the fourth most. But I can't trust that they're going to make her the star of an episode. Even though I'm coming out of last week feeling like she's absolutely going to win, I can't feel like I just can't sit here and say, oh, yeah, for sure, Aubrey's going to get a lot of confessionals. Like, they're finding a way to not show her. Did I freeze? Am I good? Am I here?
Well, I can't tell if my internet is going or if his internet is going.
Oh, no. I heard you the whole time. So that
okay.
was tough. It might be me. It might be me.
I was about to jump in. And
I'm sitting at the counter with the dishwasher in front of me. I haven't gotten set up properly. Will's been like, I thought Phil said when he moves, he's going to have better internet. It's like, yeah, but better internet when I buy a new computer. I'm working on a laptop that is like dusty and not working at all. But yeah, anyway, I think we got it. We're good. Let's go on to the last question here. Last question. Who's going to have their mouth blurred? I'm not picking Devins because it's too easy of an answer. So I'm going to go with Devins instead.
That's good. I did pick Devin's because he's been the answer every week. Mm-hmm. I didn't see any previews really. So like, I try to do this without looking too much into the previews.
The sneak peeks have been brutal this year. They just show the first 5 minutes of the episode.
And it answers like half these questions. So that's tough, but I'm going to go with Rick. He's probably going to be excited. He's probably going to say like blank. Yeah. Or whatever, you know, that, when mm-hmm. he's jumping around, skipping around in the woods. So
I'm dancing.
Yes. We saw him dancing the kick. So yeah, mm-hmm. I think that he's been the answer to this every week. So I'm going to go with him.
Yeah, Devin's is such an easy answer, but I'll take Devin's for most confessionals, and I'll go with Rizzo here because I feel like Devin's is going to get so many confessionals just right off the bat of this episode of like, I just did that. And there's going to be so much. I mean, they're going to reward this guy for making this huge move because that's what Survivor and production and everything want. So they're going to be pumped. They're going to be pumped. All right. We've gone through the questions. We've done everything. We're almost at an hour. Is there anything else you want to talk about with this upcoming episode that we didn't cover?
I don't think so. It could be your double boot one way or another. If there is a medevac at this challenge or something, you know, maybe that's how we get a double boot in. I don't know. But that's, I don't know. It's so hard to know. It's like, is it going to be double boot? Is there going to be a medevac? Like there's so many unknowns with this episode.
Yeah. It's funny because I do a pretty good job of staying unspoiled throughout these seasons. The way that I end up getting spoiled is when people like post in the comments or post in the chat all the time. What Kyle said at 1 hour and 7 minutes is what happens. He must be spoiled. And it's like, well, if he wasn't, he certainly is now because you just said the exact timestamp of what he said. And so that's what happens. But I will say this, when there's a medevac on a season, it almost gets spoiled every single time.
That is true.
Even if you don't know who it is, you hear that there's going to be a medevac. I have not heard anything about a medevac. So if there were to be one, that would floor me this week.
Yeah. This late in the season, there's been no hype about it. Like they would have shown something in the preview about that. So yeah, probably no.
And we would have heard something in the community. I mean, people would have been commenting about it. I would be really surprised if somebody gets medevac. And if they do, that sucks being at Final Nine and, you know, as short of a season as this is, that stinks.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right. What do you have going on over on your channel in case there's anybody who's here who's never heard of your channel or wants to listen to it or wants to check it out?
Well, right now, I'm going to be working on stuff for after season 50. So I like to do player rankings, season rankings, but I also like to come up with some topics that maybe haven't been talked about before. So like I've done the math behind idle plays, the fifth place edit, random topics like that. If you do like International Survivor, I got a ton of videos over there for you about that. But yeah, I'm really excited to just like re-examine the history of Survivor, where everybody's place is post season 50. And I think a lot of people are probably going to do that as well. So I'm really excited to dig into that after the season.
Yeah, I know we are going to have an episode coming out the Thursday after, not the Thursday immediately after, but the week after. We'll be doing one about the legacies of players.
That's part of what that's one of the video ideas that I'm thinking about too.
Well, the good thing is for you, you do shorter videos. We'll be over here shorter doing like an hour and a half podcast talking about it. Probably talking about things we don't need to talk about. We'll also get Billie Eilish in there for that. I will say it's funny during this entire thing, all of a sudden the specialist group chat started blowing up, not from me saying anything. And I will say there are no sympathetic characters here on the specialist towards Billie Eilish right now. Everybody's kind of saying the same thing at this point. So anyway, well, thank you, Kyle. I really appreciate you joining. Happy to have you on. This was a really good conversation. Everybody like this video and subscribe to the channel. If you want to become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. We are doing a whole bunch of stuff over there. Blake and I did a casting video today talking about casting calls, which is something we've done before, but they've been coming up a lot more again and people wanted to talk about them. We're in the middle of Second Chance and then we're going to be getting into Co-Wrong. If you're a top tier patron, my after show every Thursday after an episode airs, Rock Draws, Tech Talks on Tuesdays, Q&As. And then John and I, we've still been doing some movie coverage over there just for our lowest tier and up. And this month we are going to be doing a whole bunch of Spielberg sci-fi movies to get excited for Disclosure Day. So if that's something that interests you, we're doing Close Encounters of the Third Kind, E.T. and War of the Worlds the next 3 weeks. So There you go. We did Animal Farm today because we did the original one because they made the crappy animated one now. But based on the reviews for the crappy animated one, I don't think we're going to have any new Animal Farm people who are going to be super excited. So anyway, thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I'll be back tomorrow night right after the episode with Will on Thursday. Omer and I will be live. Blake might be there too. Blake's up in the air, hopefully at 10 p.m. Eastern time. It's going to depend on when my movers get here, at what time, and hopefully we don't have to finagle and move things around too much. So a lot of fun stuff coming up. Owen Knight is my guest for Prediction Power Rankings this week. It's going to be on a Saturday instead of a Sunday, so it's going to be a little bit different to the schedule. And obviously, John and McKenna with the Rewind. If you haven't listened to Rachel Lamont's podcast yesterday with Tegwith, make sure you check that one out. Look at that. I'm plugging everything that I'm supposed to plug for once.
Everything. So, listen to all this stuff you got going on.
Listen to all this stuff. Non-stop and you moved podcast. And I moved.
The grind.
Philip
Everybody
Solomon
give the channel some love, man.
Right? Philip Solomon from Deal or No Deal Island messaged me. He's like, I moved like right around the corner. I don't know how you're doing what you're doing. I'm like, you just got to embrace the suck. You got to embrace it. So like this video so that I can keep enjoying embracing the suck. And we will see you all tomorrow night after episode number 11.